today on Real Radio.
Do you know a little young woman whose name was Mary, who gave birth to a son surrounded by scandal, and his name was Jesus, and the whole scandal continued with his entire life, that he was none other than God incarnate, God eternal, God in the flesh, the very one that was prophetically announced in Scripture. Do you know anyone who is surrounded by such a scandal? I do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues, He Is, a Christmas series celebrating the wonderful and unique attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the great mystery of our faith, that in the beginning, Jesus Christ was the Word of God and always has been with God, yet He humbled Himself by becoming a man whose virgin birth was announced by angels. And by dying on the cross, He brought hope to the nations and salvation to all who believe. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. He unveiled Himself to mankind as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the image of the invisible God, demonstrating His own love for us by having victory over death so that we can have eternal life. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John chapter 1 begins with verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. What is that? Well, remember Genesis 1, in the beginning of the physical universe being made? Who was there in the beginning according to John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word. It means that the Word was already there before the physical universe came into existence. Notice in your Bible, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Pausing for effect, let that sink in. Marinate in that for a moment. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God, and the Word, look at verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled, is the word, dwelt, pitched His tent, came to us to live like us, among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and lived among us, says the Bible, and that Word was at the beginning of the creation of God. The Word was there. Now, you hang on. You listen carefully. You're going to learn more about who this Word is and His eternal state. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man. Pause right there, as a human. This is a big deal. Well, I don't know if Jesus is a big deal. You better rethink your opinion there, buddy, because the Bible says, and being found in appearance as a man. What does that mean? It means every one of us, we have no choice but to be found as in the appearance of a man. Mankind, you and I, male, female, we are humans and we are stuck with it. God came. Remember, God is spirit. He's spirit. He came and He, listen, appeared to us in humanity. He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. A lot of people died on the cross. Everybody dies. Some way, shape, or form, everyone dies. God came. Listen, Christmas is God came to earth to die. The baby born in Bethlehem was the man that was to die on the cross in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ came to die. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I love this. I love this verse just because the graphic nature of it. 1 Timothy 3, 16 says, without question. Some of your Bibles read, without debate. In other words, don't waste your time. This is the great mystery of our faith. Number one, Christ was revealed in a human body. Number two, vindicated by the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit bore witness of all that Jesus said and did. Third, He was seen by angels. And you hear me say this every year at Christmas time. The word seen in the Greek is to gawk, to be wide-eyed, to be mouth open. Angels, which I think are very hard to impress, at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us here that He was seen by angels, gawked at by angels. A lot of scholars believe, and I agree with them, a lot of scholars believe that because of the nature of Jesus Christ being God and all in eternity, And based upon scripture, where angels appear before God, they veil their body and they veil their face with their wings. Did you know that? That when they appear before God, they're veiled. That the reason why angels got at the birth of Jesus Christ, because it was not only the first time that God had ever entered the world through a virgin, as you and I have been born into this world in flesh, but that they got to see their Savior, as it were, face to face. Their Creator, I should say, not their Savior. They saw their Creator face to face. Imagine, what if that's true? What if angels' first revelation of their Creator that they can see face to face is Him as a man? I find that extremely provocative and exciting. Can't prove it, sounds good, could be, but wow, they gawked. Angels, wide-eyed and wide-mouthed. Number four, He was announced among the nations, preached. Some of your Bibles say preached among the nations. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. Right now still, with all of the violence that's going on in the world today, Jesus is being preached. That's the way it's going to be. Number six, He was believed on throughout the world. Or five, excuse me, believed on in the world, throughout the world. Do you believe in Jesus Christ this morning? You join billions of people around the world throughout history. And number six, He was taken up into heaven, taken back. The word implies He was taken back. I like that. He came and He went back. The Christmas hymn, "O come, all ye faithful." I want you to consider the doctrine of the Christmas hymn. I'll point out a few more times a Christmas hymn in our message. The fourth line of "O come, all ye faithful" is, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory given." Listen, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. What a statement that is. Number three, He is the prophetic Jesus Christ. The Jesus of Christmas is the prophetic Jesus Christ. He is the God who alone has told us the future in advance. No other book, I tell you this over and over again, 27% of your Bible is of prophetic nature. No other book of religious authorship in the world throughout history is a prophetic book except your Bible. God's the only one who can tell the future in advance. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Revelation 19:10, He is the very spirit of prophecy. But Jesus Christ, He's the prophetic Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible tells us, and this is prophecy. A lot of people don't like prophecy. Somebody communicated to me recently that they stopped coming to this church here because they said they don't like to hear about Bible prophecy. Did you know Bible prophecy is the very sole doctrine alone that proves the existence of God? Did you know that? Did you know you can prove the existence of God scientifically through the doctrine of prophecy? Did you know that only through Bible prophecy can you confirm and make the statement that God's word is without error? Outside of that, you have no ability. Did you know that? I just want to encourage you, without the knowledge of Bible prophecy, you're going to be deceived. That's why all the cults can't prophesy. Did you know that? None of the cults have got the guts to write down or issue forth a prophecy because they're wrong every time. God's never wrong. And you can prove it. Well, He's the prophetic Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. "But while Joseph thought about these things..." Now remember, approach this as a skeptic. "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Now remember, we're skeptics. We don't believe in any of this stuff. We're just reading it right now, okay? "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Stop right there. In history, was there ever a woman by the name of Mary caught up in a scandal who brought forth a son whose name was Jesus? I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Remember, for argument's sake, we don't believe in any of this stuff. Just reading the claims. "For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, saying," it's Isaiah, "behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. He is God with us. Remember, you're a skeptic right now. I'm just putting this out to you. Do you know a little young woman whose name was Mary, who gave birth to a son surrounded by scandal, and his name was Jesus, and the whole scandal continued with his entire life that he was none other than God incarnate, God eternal, God in the flesh, the very one that was prophetically announced in Scripture? Do you know anyone who is surrounded by such a scandal? I do. I don't believe it. Why not? If the prophet said it, and it was in existence 1,000 years before Jesus was born, what's your problem? Honestly, what's your problem? I'm convinced of this. If you use your brain, if you reason, and you employ logic, you'll come to the conclusion that the smartest thing for you to do, and the reasonable thing for you to do, is to become a follower of Jesus. Because it's the prophetic Christ. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Isaiah 46, 9. God says, remember the former things of old. Remember the past? I'm God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. I love that. That sounds so sassy, doesn't it? You can almost see God with his hand on his hip, saying, I know things, all the stuff that's happened in your time that you can remember, I knew all about that stuff before it happened. Oh, and on top of it, I tell you about things way, way back in distant time past. I tell you then about what's going to happen when. God does that. And he says, I tell you these things from ancient times, things that are not yet done. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, 16 says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is an eyewitness account, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine now, we're skeptics and we're in court. We're trying to crack this case. The eyewitness stands up, and his name's Peter, and he says, this is what I saw. And you might say, I don't care what you saw, Peter. I need facts. He says, but we were eyewitnesses of the majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. And the voice said this, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. Now, again, you can reject this eyewitness account of Peter's, but watch this. When we were with him in the holy mountain, we have also... Ooh, in addition to my, Peter says, experience, which we're not going to pay attention to because we're skeptics, we also have the more sure word of what, ladies and gentlemen? Prophecy. Prophecy. Jesus Christ. He's the prophetic Jesus. Number four, he is the apocalyptic Jesus, not in the sense you may be thinking. More on that in a moment, but the apocalyptic Jesus. What does that mean? Well, technically, the word apocalyptic or apocalypse is the unveiling, to unveil. The word actually in the Greek means the appearing, the public appearing of, or the public manifestation, the public unveiling, to lift the veil or to remove the covering from a painting or from a statue. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus is, from Genesis to Revelation, the star figure, the unveiling of Jesus. I said earlier, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. But a close examination, are you sitting down? This ought to blow your mind if you're a skeptic in the house. The Bible says in Colossians 1:15 that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. Don't let that fool you. It simply means the preeminent one, the one that rules over. He's the one. He's the custodian of creation. For by him, this is Jesus, all things were, what's the word? Created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, those are invisible spiritual powers. All things were created through him and for him. This is who Jesus is. Revelation 1:1 reminds me of Genesis 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God. Who was that? Colossians 1 tells us it was Jesus Christ who was the architect of creation. And not only was creation made through him, but for him. And the Bible ends with the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of him publicly that you might know who he is. He is the apocalyptic Jesus Christ, the unveiled Jesus Christ. He's the revelation guide. Number five, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's obvious, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. But in that we mean all of the names of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible names Jesus Christ with or by the names of God. Now you need to hear that, especially if you're of a cult. Well, Jesus, no, the Bible doesn't say, yes, not only does the Bible say he's God, the Bible screams that he's God, and the Bible announces that there's no other God but one. There's only one, and I'm not going to go through it. There's a little pamphlet, by the way, in front of your chair. It says, is Jesus God? And if you don't have it, you can go to our website and print it out at home. Is Jesus God? Why? Because all the names of God are listed there, and they're attributed to Jesus Christ there in the Bible. We'll just pick on a few of these. By the way, I must admit, to an unbeliever, especially to a Jewish person, to say that Jesus Christ is God is absolute blasphemy to them. I understand that. If it weren't true, I would agree with you. 100%. I would agree with my Jewish friends that Jesus Christ, if you believe Jesus Christ is God, that's blasphemous. I would agree if it weren't true. But it is true. You see? Romans chapter 9, verse 5 says about Jesus, who according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternal blessed God. Titus 2:13, this is how I sign many of my notes, letters, or emails. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boom, bang, wham, done. See ya. That is awesome. You either believe this or you don't. Hey, listen, how you believe this determines if you're a Christian or not. What do you do with that verse right there? You going to heaven or you going to hell? You choose. Which one is it? Well, I want you to have a Merry Christmas. I want you to believe that. That's what God's word says. What are you going to do with that? Philippians chapter 2, verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Number six, he is the humble Jesus Christ. Now this, I got to tell you, this comes on like a, in a sense, it hits us out of the norm. All of these great declarations, the eternal, the apocalyptic, the prophetic, the Lord, the humble? The humble? Yes, don't mistake God's humility for our type of weakness. God is not weak. True humility, which is only exhibited by God, is profound power. To be humble as a human is reasonable, practical, wise. But in God, in his nature, to be humble is part of his nature. God never struts his stuff around and boasts and sticks out his chest and demands and this or that. He's not arrogant like that. See, we are arrogant like that and we must be humbled. God cannot change. He doesn't need to change. He is of a divine, pure humility that we cannot understand. It is holy, it is beautiful. It is the kenosis of Christ, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, the kenosis of Christ. It's the doctrine found in the Old Testament throughout, and it's applied to Jesus Christ in the New Testament in totality. When we talk about the humility of Christ, the humbleness of Jesus Christ, we talk about the doctrine of kenosis, which, for example, in Psalm 22, there, the Bible tells us that the Messiah to come 1,000 years before Christmas Day, before Mary had her little lamb. The psalmist wrote that they would pierce his hands and his feet and that he would cry out, Eloi Eloi lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Messiahship of Jesus Christ mentioned in Psalm 22. The kenosis of Isaiah 53. That the servant of God would go and die. His beard would be plucked out. He would be stripped of his skin, beaten and rejected by mankind. And when God the Father would see the travail of his soul, he would be satisfied, for his servant shall justify many by his sacrifice, and their sins shall be forgiven. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, especially if you're Jewish today, to this day you look for a lamb to take away your sins, the blood of a lamb. The Bible tells us that the Lamb of God, God would provide himself. It wouldn't be an animal, it would be the God-man, Jesus Christ. That God would become man at Christmas, that he'd be birthed into this world for a mission to die a death that was owed to you and I. He paid that debt. He met that demand. He was sacrificed at that cruel cross so that you and I could live forever. It's the whole spirit of Christmas. To not understand that is to be a hypocrite at Christmas. To not acknowledge that is to go through a stupid, silly, ridiculous, commercialized misfit. But to recognize it is to fall on your knees and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you for sending your son Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, again, elements we've already read this morning. Philippians 2, 7 begins, and coming in the likeness of man, he being found in the appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of the death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that's the spiritual realm, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself. Number 7, he is the sacrificial Jesus Christ. The sacrificial Jesus Christ. I can understand, and I mean this in a bit of sarcasm, and yet at the same time, a bit of compassion. I understand the world today, if they go out right now, or as on this Sunday morning, early first service, their heads are swollen with headache, their stomach is nauseous from alcohol, and they're trying to regain themselves to get control of themselves so they can go back to work tomorrow. I understand if they're completely strung out on drugs and they went for this weekend to go grab all the gusto they could to drown their sorrows. I understand them. If they don't have Jesus, they're doing the best they can without him. Did you know that? I get that. Breaks my heart, but I get that. But to stop and to think for a moment this reality, that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself so you wouldn't have to live like that, sacrificed himself so that you wouldn't have to go through drowning out your life sorrows or trying to put away your fears. No, he came and he was sacrificed. Listen, we sang this. Hark, the herald angel sings, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Amen. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born, Messiah is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angel sings to the newborn king, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a Christmas season message called He Is. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. There is no greater Christmas message than the gospel, and you are sure to find hope for any issue in your life through Jesus Christ. Today's lesson was just one in a Christmas series called He Is. It's a series that looks at the Christmas story through Old Testament prophecy and New Testament scripture. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you're familiar with Pastor Jack, you know that he picks out a book of the month, a great suggestion for you to read. And this one, being the end of the year, is the New King James Version 1-Year Bible. It's this month's book of the month. Go to our website, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and pick up the book of the month, the New King James Version 1-Year Bible. Let's get through the Bible in 1 year all together. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.